Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Yes, you're live with the Gathered of Christ Church. How, your name and city?
Minnie, Silo City.
Okay. The floor is yours. Talk to us.
Oh, hi, Elder. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
Hello?
How are you?
I'm fine. Yes, I was calling out. I remember seeing a video you had about the mask, and I wasn't sure if you were saying that they were dangerous to wear. Because I remember hearing you talk about you had to wear masks when you go to Office Depot or was it Home Depot. And then I know there's some stores that won't allow you in with masks. And I have to wear masks when I go to work. It's like required. So I had a few masks that I sent to you, an elder lawyer. But if you feel that they might be dangerous, you can just maybe donate them. You don't have to wear them. And then another thing, like with the comments. I've been leaving comments and constantly being.
Sure.
Hello?
No, sister, I did receive your mask. Thank you very much for those. I received them.
Okay.
Two separate sets. You did a pretty good job with them. As far as the name and all that goes.
Okay.
Yes, so
I'll be showing them.
Okay, maybe there's some disruption or delay here.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. It makes sense. Every time
I'll go to the next call. I'm sorry. There's some disruption on your line. I apologize. I'll get with you, though, and thank you for the mask. I will be showing those tomorrow in the academy. 917 area code.
Shabbat shalom, elders. How are you? I just would like to share with some. Oh, first of all, I wanted to mention this is my first academy I'm in. And, oh, my God. I can't believe what I've learned just in 2 weeks. But I just wanted to share this with you when you were talking about how the Almighty will get us through things. I wanted to share a little something with me. I had been pondering what it meant for some time, but I just believe that the Most High just wanted to show me something. This story short, I moved to New York with my daughter in 2011 from Missouri. One day I was sitting in a room by the doorway watching TV, and I happened to look down and see something caught my eye. It was something red on the floor. I thought it was maybe a rose petal that had dropped something. When I bent down and picked it up, I looked at it, and it was a little red token, which was a Missouri tax token, which was used back in the early 50s. And it was used for tax. It was a fraction of a penny. And I had not seen those since my grandmother used them in the early 50s. Once I got old enough to go to the store myself, we were using pennies for tax. So I never had those in my purse. And I picked it up off the floor and held it in my hand. I showed it to my oldest daughter, and we were pondering about where did it come from? How did this get here in New York? And I never had one of those in my purse at all. And so I just put it away in an unused wallet I hadn't been using. And then about a couple of months later, I happened to think about it, and I go to the wallet, and it's not there. So, I mean, that was a supernatural occurrence. There was no other way for them to come here other than divine intervention. And so I said, I think that was just the most High showing me what he can do whenever he wants to do it.
Thank you, sister. Great.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I had. Yeah. Thank you.
Brother and sister, this is some weird stuff I've never seen. It's moving my sound down. I've never seen anything like this. before you. Volume just goes down by itself. I'm just going to hold it here. One more moment. This is very weird. One more. All right, so I'm going to try to do this, but volume is. I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, it's weird, but I'm going to try to take as many calls as I can and then get ready and prepared for our Wednesday's broadcast. All right, one moment. All right, it's good now. It's good?
Let's
see. All right, let's see then. All right, 504 area code.
Hey, Elder, Shabbat Shalom. My name is Shalisa. I'm from the New Orleans body. Well, the reason I was calling is because I know I listen to the Sabbath services or your Sabbath lessons every week. And every week it seems like everything you're saying, honestly, I feel like a lot of times you're feeling you're speaking directly to me. Where even like today when you said that we have to have control of our tempers and our temperament, I've never been the type of person to ever have a. I've never been the type of person to get angry very easily. I feel like honestly, I've always been a very level-headed person, but lately, when I get upset, I get angry. Like it's a weird kind of rage that I get, and I haven't acted on it. I've still tried to take control of it, but it's a strange thing for it to start happening to me now. And even my sister, who is also very level-headed, she's always been very calm. She told me she started experiencing the same thing, and I'm not sure if it's because of COVID and the stress and everything of the world and everything, but I thought that was strange. And then, I think I'm being tested in that way, but two, I really want to ask your advice on something. And again, like I said, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. So I am an assistant manager, basically at a healthcare facility, and I had an employee call me on Tuesday morning. They had just got back from their trip. Now, mind you, with this employee, I have no personal problem with her or anything like that, but she does have a history of like if she doesn't come into work, she'll make excuses. So on this particular day, she called in and she said, "Oh, I want to see if I can work the second half of the day. I want to go get tested because I don't feel good." To be honest with you, to me, it didn't really sound sincere, but if that's something that she wanted to do, I would have never questioned her and told her, "Well, no, you're lying," or anything. I would have never done that. But I asked her, I was like, "Well, what makes you think that, you know, you might have it?" Because she said, "I think I might have it." I was like, "Well, what are your symptoms? What makes you think you might have it?" She says, "Oh, well, my stomach is hurting, and my stomach has been hurting, and I've been having a headache." To me, based off of the symptoms that they've claimed are symptoms of corona, I'm like, "Well, that doesn't really sound like it." But the thing is, and I explained to her, but the thing is, if you think you might have it, I'm not supposed to allow you into work because you can infect other people if you think you might have it. My reasoning for thinking and saying that is not necessarily I was afraid for myself. It was just that if she were to come into work and she did go get tested and tested positive, then that would put the entire office at risk, even though I don't necessarily believe in the whole COVID conspiracy. It would still put the entire office at risk where we would have to shut down. People would end up losing their jobs again, possibly. And other people would be at risk of having to be tested, put in a position to be tested. I honestly, at that moment, I explained that to her, and I had to talk to my manager about it and see what she said. And I told her the best thing we can possibly do is maybe see if you can quarantine for 14 days without getting tested, but that's not really up to me. That was something I thought would be reasonable. But after talking to my manager, she was like, "No,
I need you to get to what is your question."
I'm sorry. So my question was that basically, in so many words, she has to go get tested, and she can't return until she gets test results back. is there a different way that I could have handled it? Because I don't want to, like, you know, feed her to the wolves or anything like that. But at the same time, there's a protocol, and I felt like I didn't want to make a decision based off of fear, you know? So I wanted to ask, how could I have handled it better?
See, it's a very, this is a very compromising scenario on everyone's part, right? And I'm going to say this by saying, and let me explain what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a Bible man. I believe in the faith that comes with following the Most High, and that's it. I don't care what they're saying, okay? So when it comes to, and I'm not under the foot of my livelihood being threatened due to the stance I'm making. So it would be unfair to me to tell you what I would do, because you have to, you know, you have to make decisions for your household. And I think that's part of your frustration, right? It's like this, sister. If you're going to work the job, you have to find out what the protocols are and follow those protocols. That's it. It puts you in a compromised position. We all, of course it does. Because you'll actually be given advice against what you believe. But that's what comes with doing a job. So that's part of your frustration, sis. Knowing what you believe. And now you're in a position that you have to enforce a lie for the sake of your livelihood. So you have to make choices. I can't make those choices for you. And let me give you an example. If I was to give you a direction out of this scenario, then when you're faced with something again, you'll need my direction again. Faith is something that I can teach in the Bible, but one cannot really obtain really until they exercise it themselves. You don't understand what faith is until you have to be able to exercise it, and then you'll see what we're saying. And the example I can give you is when we were about to, one day I decided that I had to finish doing the work. So the Most High, after a fast and everything that happened, the Most High was letting me know, listen, what you're seeing, the people have to know. You need to go out and teach my word. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, what's up with my security? What's up with my bills? And one thing I've always realized, it doesn't matter how much I worried about them, they just kept coming. I'm like, so either I become inundated and get inundated with the bills and the worries that come with that, or do the work of the Most High. So I said to myself, you know, okay, it's time for me to get off of this job. That's what So I made a circumstance in which I can get off, and months later I was able to get unemployment, and I'm like, you know what? I will never work again. I'm like, Lord, I will never work again. I'm going to do your work. Traveling, going around, doing everything that the Most High told me to do, and guess what, sister? He have never forsaken me, not once, because I made a decision based on faith. If I would have made a decision based on fear, I wouldn't be here teaching right now. I would be at some job somewhere hoping to get a few hours to teach on Saturday. So faith is something that really, it's an experience. I can't teach you what faith is. You have to exercise that faith to see that the majority of what we experience through servitude happens through the fear of what we might lose. The fear of our circumstances is what keeps us in the box. When you exercise that faith, you'll realize that really was the shortcut the whole time, depending on the Most High. We were doing it. I was doing it. Guess what, folks? I was doing it the hard way. I'm like, man, if I'd have known this, I'd have made this move a long time ago. To really depend on the Most High and have him take care of me and guide me. I thought that was my position to have full power over the situation. And the only thing I got was more bills. So you have to make a choice, sister. And understand your choice comes with not compromising morality and what you know is right. You got it? Mm-hmm. I can't make the choice for you. I believe you already know what you need to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Place you on hold.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next call. Faith is an experience. I can tell you what to do, but then you don't know, then you wouldn't know how to exercise faith the next time. 773. Here we go.
Shalom, Elder.
How are you?
I'm great. Blessings to each and one of you. The lesson was very good. I just want to say I really thank the Most High for bringing me under this ministry, because it's been really, really helping and observing to me. And I have left the Christianity church when the pandemic had started, and it just happened spiritually for me. And when I told my sister and the leader of the Christianity church that I was no longer doing Christianity, they really got upset, and they was trying to figure out, aren't you Christ anymore, or don't you believe in Jesus? I was like, hey, this is a spiritual thing that happened. I just don't believe in your doctrines no more. So long story short, this is just a testimony for me, and I've been, you know, dealing with some people at work just coming, like, spreading rumors and lies on me or whatever, but I just keep my faith in the Most High always. I never try to get out of control or get upset too much. I have to really calm myself down because I'm really a calm person, but I see certain things that go on in my job, but I just be cool and calm because of the ministry that I'm under with you, what you teaching me. I don't fear nothing, and I don't lose it. I know who's going to win the battle, so it's not for me to fight. But I just been having some other issues with my family, with my mom. So I really been needing a prayer for her. And I'm just asking you guys to pray for her, because I don't know what's wrong with her, but she just mentally sometimes go in and out like a light switch, up and down. So I don't know what's wrong with her. And she live alone. And I tell her about you, and she's like, oh, all you do is your Bible, your Bible, your Bible. I say, well, you know what, Mama? I'm just trying to help you. You know, I tell a lot of family members, they don't believe me. They was like, oh, you easy to be influenced. I say, no, this is a spiritual thing that happened for me. It's not nobody influencing me. This is real. It's a spiritual thing. And I just thank the Most High for letting me know to meet you guys. And I will support you in anything that I need to do. I don't mind supporting you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sister. And thank you. Thank you. Let me get your mother's name so we can make sure we put a prayer in for her. Let me hear her name real quick.
Her name is Jenny Spencer.
What's her name?
Jenny Spencer.
Jenny Spencer. We make sure we put a prayer up for her. And do what I did, okay? Usually when people are disoriented, going in and out, there's some pharmaceuticals behind it. So what you would like to do, sister, on your own, don't ask your mother, because usually part of the medication is her becoming disoriented and cannot tell you straight anyway. So what mm-hmm. I would do while she's asleep or whatever, if I were you, mm-hmm. I would go and look through her medications, Google her medications mm-hmm. and the side effects of them, and see if any mental mm-hmm. issues of what you are witnessing are part of the side effects.
Okay. Because when she was younger... I'm listening.
No, because believe it or not, when you off these medications altogether cold turkey and they out of your system, that's almost like a cleanse or a fast. So
mm-hmm.
you have to get her off the dependence of the medications first. But go on. You mm-hmm. you were saying something. Right?
When she was younger, my family, they told me she got raped. So they say she never went and got no type of help for it. And then she was in an abusive relationship, just different relationship was abusive. And always was a single parent working. And my
yeah,
siblings, like, We're so divided. That's, so I don't.
You know what? That's a reoccurring epidemic in our community. That's hit. I think that's one of the most heinous scenarios that we have allowed to continue to plague our communities where we live at. I keep on hearing this over and over again, where women were, and boys were mm-hmm. raped and molested and all that, and if internally held that, but through this what the Bible calls inordinate affection, by hiding that dysfunction, they've become, believe it or not, our families the epitome of dysfunction, from one relationship to the next, because that one sin was never really, and that sin was done against her. Mm-hmm. It was never faced, it was never discussed, and she never gotten over it. And it's a shame, mm-hmm. because you would think all the churches in our communities who know this exists,
mm-hmm.
would have some type of programs in place that can get our people mm-hmm. through this. But what happens if the church is where the molestation and the rape is happening? Sister, I will definitely pray for your mother. Definitely.
Thank you so much, Elder. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. It's a shame. The Most High will plead our cause, though. It'll be all right. All right. 313 area code. I'm just going to take a few more.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, you're live. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Brother Derek from Detroit Body on the Elder Dale. I was just calling, man, because I rode past, it's a city near our city over here in Detroit. It's called Ferndale. And I rode past a church. There was a church there, and outside hanging off on the banner of the church, it was a rainbow flag, and it said, "We are proud to stand with our LGBT brothers and sisters of God, under God, or God's LGBT children." And it just had a rainbow banner on a church. And I'm just, of course, we know what we know about the churches, but it was just, it just had me just realize, like, we really are in Babylon, driving down, when you can look over at the church and they have a big, huge rainbow banner outside, bigger than anything that's on the church, saying how they stand together with the LGBT children of God. Like, you know, it's just, it's hypocrisy. And the last thing I want to mention is I work over at a warehouse, and just the length that they're going to with this COVID thing, they have, when you come in, you got to get your temperature taken and everything, and now they have symptom stations set up. So you go over to the symptom station, they ask you if you got symptoms. If you say yeah, they send you home without pay. And if you don't have them, then they let you work for that day. And then they also have cameras that they put up. When you get too close to somebody, you within the 6 feet distance, it starts to put a red circle on you, and it makes a dinging noise. And I just feel like eventually that's going to be the type of technology that they're going to have out in the world. You know, if you're standing too close to somebody on the corner or just walking down the street, they're going to have cameras to track you and all that, you know, go along with the contact tracking and all that. But that's all I want to bring forth, and Shalom, and the water to y'all for bringing forth the understanding.
Hey, brother, thank you for keeping us informed, and make sure you call us up if something changes. Let us know what's going on over there, okay?
Sure.
I really appreciate you, brother. And it's deep, you're right. You know why a lot of churches are going LGBT? Really, that's really the cost of staying in business right now. All the money, all the resources, all the grants that once went to our community is being lost under this ambiguous minority label. And the minority label, the people that are really getting all the money, are white gay people and the LGBT group. So in order for these churches to actually stay in business, because that's what it is for them, they have to go with the times. They have to turn with the trends. And if that's where the money is right now, the gay people, you know, are in to love God and they paying tithes, that's all that matters. Okay? And listen, it's. Let me tell you, we can have empathy for what these brothers and sisters have gone through, because 9 times out of 10, the hitting I would say disease that creates that behavior is usually molestation. Molestation, and it's being hid. It's being hid, and we have to, you know, I'm going to go out with the camera one of these days, and I'm going to talk to a few people and ask, why don't we have enough gay people out there who understand what happened to them stand up against molestation? They, instead of us putting money into the LGBT, why don't we more so focus on the children and make sure what happened to them doesn't happen to the next generation? Okay, so I'm going to ask those questions. Like, what segment of the LGBT group that's against molestation? Where's your campaign to fight against children who are getting molested? I digress. Next call, what's that? Oh, 440.
Uh-oh, let me take care of. Okay, here we go. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Elders Thawada, for taking my call. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited. I'm just going to say this real quick because I know you got others to other calls to get to. But I tell you what, fun, oh, my goodness, fun is being awakened and being a part of the GLCC body, you know, because before I was awake. I'm sorry?
I said all.
Oh,
that's touching.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll keep.
Glad to have
I'll
you.
Keep going. It's going to get better. Hold on. Okay, so, yeah, so now me being a mother of 11 kids, you know, society really, you know, and the church just really took a toll on me. I mean, like I said before, I've been going to church, you know, when I was there, going like 3 times a day, one trying to get fed, because I knew it was always something missing, you know, so, and then being divorced, that was a lot of fun also. But what I'm doing now, you know, I'm teaching my son. I can never teach my sons how to be men, you know, like throwing the football, you know, doing track and all that stuff, you know, but I've just seen, you know, how men and women are just feminized and, you know, on the other side, you know, women being strong, you know, and I distance myself from them, you know, I give the word and then I just kind of move on. And I'm working my own business now so I can plug into you guys. Because I'm telling you, when I heard about that George Floyd, when I first saw it, I was like, something's not right here. And if there's anything, my elders are going to pick it apart. And then when I saw that NFAC, I'm like, they have some good points, but they are still kind of throw it off. And if there's anything, my elders are going to pick it apart. And boy, did you guys. And I'll tell you what, Elder Baruch, I don't want to do a roll call because everybody that I've come in contact with, with GOCC has just been a joy and a blessing. But I'll tell you what, Elder Baruch in the Atlanta body, oh, my Most High God. Elder, I got baptized. I went down to the river, and Elder Baruch baptized me. And it was the most awesomest feeling and thing that I have ever gone through. I mean, my daughter and I, we were last, you know, and when I got out there, he started talking, and I was just blown away. And I stood out there. We were out there because my other kids, they videoed it. We were out there like 16 minutes because I'm like, wait, before I go down, I want to make sure of certain things. And he answered all my questions, and I was just blown away. And the one sister that was just on talking about, you know, her mother and, you know, acting. But what about our family members that, you know, are in prison? You know, they're on those psych meds. I had an experience with one that was in. He came out. And I'm telling you, the medicine had the demon just show up in him, you know, right in front of me. And I just thank the Most High that, you know, during the time that we were together, I had you guys playing. You know, I got tired. I went to sleep, and I had you guys playing. And then, you know, I was awakened, and then it wasn't even my family member. The demon just showed up, and I just took my Bible, and I was pushing that Bible towards them, and I just was rebuking and saying what you guys told me to say. But on the flip side, it was like almost I threw him back in jail because it was like I didn't have a strong man with me. I couldn't handle it myself. So, you know, but again, he's going to be getting out pretty soon, so hopefully – you know, I can get them to you guys. That's my mission because I'm telling my family, look, everybody, get in touch with the elder closer to you, get the baptism lessons, and get baptized if you will. If not, I love you, but I got to keep moving on. Thank you for taking my call, Thawada. I love being in GOCC and Thawada.
Well, thank you. All praises.
There's a lot of guys out there, too.
Yeah, I guess she already had the answer. You direct them, and if they don't choose what's right, when our people were dealing with disobedience at the mount, the Most High said, listen, Moses, I'm going to kill them. He says, Lord, if you kill them, then all the enemies, all the nations are going to say, you brought us out to save us, to kill us. He says, well, okay then. They disrespecting out there. I'll tell you what, Moses, okay. Then he says, listen, I can build a nation through you, Moses. He says, Lord, have mercy. He's like, okay, I'll tell you what. You pleaded for the nation, that's good. You go down and you make a line. And everyone that get on that other side that's not with you, I'm killing. And see, and that's what that baptism is. That baptism is that line that's drawn, that proverbial line that's drawn in the sand. If people choose not to come over and cleanse their sins and confess their faults and receive the spiritual mark, then guess what? They're going down with the Babylonian ship. Hey. 410 area code. Only got a few more, and then we'll wish you all Godspeed. Shalom.
Hello.
You're live. Thought I would just do something extra for the Sabbath today for you all.
Yeah, I was just touching on what the brother was speaking about with the tests and how most of them ended up positive. And, you know, they're really trying to affect our kids, man, because, I mean, it kind of goes in with, like, really having the faith. Really having a faith in the Most High, because you know one thing with my son, you know, he was, you know, scheduled to get an ear tube taken out, where the other one just came out naturally. But they said, you know, he went in, they said, well, look, we couldn't move it won't move, it's embedded. And so, you know, he's gonna have to schedule the surgery, take it out, you know, the operation to take less than 5 minutes. But for him to get that, he got to get a COVID test. So, you know, immediately I'm like, well, under no circumstance do I want him to do that. But, you know, they said that he can't get the operation unless he get it. So I said, well, now, that's cool. We'll reschedule. If the protocol changed, then maybe he can get it taken out. But he's not getting the COVID test because, you know, there's already so much out here where a lot of these tests are infected. People are getting sick after they get in the test. And so, you know, I just had to leave it in the Most High hand, and I just had to pray on it. So, you know, we left, and mind you, it didn't shift, it didn't move, and within that next week, just through prayer and just having faith, you know, my son woke up in the morning, and he was just like, I think my ear tube came out. So at this point, you know, I'm like, you know, wow, it started being visible in his ear, but we couldn't even see this before. So, I mean, it was just the Most High way of just saying, like, I'm with you, you know, so that's like the first step. You got to have that complete faith in this process. And you got, and also you got to follow the way. But if you show real faith, the Most High will let you know he's with you. And that was just really my testimony, man. But them tests, man, you got to stay away from them and stand your ground. Don't compromise, because Most High worked it out. And that's really all I wanted to say.
That's a man right there, right? That's what it's about, right there. Okay, and that's how we supposed to stand. I go into the dentist. They be like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. I need my yearly cleaning done. You know, make sure you do a good job. You know, I'm hooking you up. You the dentist. You know, I just need the teeth and cleaning. Oh yeah, well, look like we just got COVID just walked in the door. We're gonna do that, but we're gonna need a COVID test from you first. And my answer to that is, excuse me, sir, no. Do I need to repeat myself? And I would talk to him like that. Did I come in here for a COVID test or teeth cleaning? Do you want my money or not? Because obviously what they're doing under COVID, they're imploding businesses anyway. So how long have you been out of business? Do you want my money for this teeth cleaning or no? Because business isn't doing too good right now. So, and if you got to get your COVID numbers, I'm not the one. Do you want my money, sir? If not, I will find a dentist who do. These are the stance we have to start taking as a people going forward. Don't let people force a medical procedure on you. Like, you don't want my money? Okay, fine. shut down. By the time they finish with this COVID thing, listen, you'll be on the corner dancing for nickels. All right, what's next call here? 917. Area code.
Yes, good afternoon.
Shalom.
All right. You know, concerning the mask, like, from my personal point of view, so there are several reasons people are wearing it. I'm sure there are a few wearing it due to the COVID. You know, they're in fear. Also, there are people wearing it due to the fouls of the air. It could be, you know, maybe a human being, foul smell, all pollutants in the air. So, but the main reason I think a majority of people are wearing it and they feel comfortable wearing it is because, as you said earlier, from I don't recall the scripture, where people are full of rage and as well as fear. So they can hide behind their mask their true emotions. Because we all know before the mask, a lot of people with, you know, fake smile, you know, all this pretending, being happy. But now, behind the mask, they, you know, they could hide their you know, their true emotions. So, so there's definitely...
All of this, I hate, sometimes I glance at the chat. I mean, I'm... Don't tell me you have to get a good laugh to look at these chats. Where did they find someone dancing for nickels? They got a... Someone found a person, say, dancing for nickels and found a person dancing. Man, thank you. Thank you for that laugh. I needed that. Oh, my goodness. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I'm not going to look
okay.
at this chat.
Yeah,
no, don't forget, we're still on the Sabbath now. But go ahead.
Yeah, so... So, yeah, so just that, and the last thing concerning the Sabbath, being that I work amongst Jews, you know, on their Sabbath, they don't use, like, you know, telephones, or they don't use computers, they don't watch TVs. So I'm wondering, what does the Bible really, like, say concerning this matter? Like, is this okay, like how we're communicating now on the Sabbath? Because according to them, this is not, like, you know, allowed.
No, it's not allowed. All right. You know why it's not allowed for them?
Why is that?
It's not allowed for them because they don't believe in Christ.
Okay.
That's why it's not allowed for them. Right? Let me give you an example. Right? Do you have your Bible?
Not on me, sir.
Oh, that's not good. Well, let me read this. Matthew 12:1 reads, "At the time Yeshaya, which is Christ, whom the world ignorantly called Jesus, went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were a-hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat." Now, you know that's unlawful to do, right? According to the Jewish synagogue. That you're not allowed to do what Christ's disciples were doing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now listen. "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said to them," this is Christ now. Now, this is like your boss, the Jewish people, saying they don't do certain things, right? Matthew 12:3, "But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungry? And they that went with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." So what he's saying here is, okay, if we follow what you're saying, then why was David able to get extra nourishment by eating the showbread on the Sabbath day? What he was showing, that there's always been grace to do God's will on the Sabbath. Listen to this.
Okay.
And it says here, it says, how he entered into the house of God. Now, the fifth verse. Or have you read the law? How that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Well, the priests have to perform the sacrifices and the service, which is work, every Sabbath, right? Right? So if it was literally you cannot work and do things, then we wouldn't have priests open in synagogues, would we? So I would ask him, did you go to the synagogue today? I mean, on Sabbath? They'd be like, yes. I'm like, the priest that was there teaching, the rabbi, isn't he working?
Okay.
Hold up. Now, see, this is why they hated Christ. Let me read this. It says here, but I say unto you, not read in the law, it says right here, it says, boom, 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 boom. But I say unto you that this is the place of one greater than the temple. He says, I'm greater than the temple that you claim to be cleansing or keeping clean through your, what you would call, following the Sabbath law. But if you'd known what this is, I would have had mercy and not sacrificed, and you would not have condemned the guiltless. And then he went back to him and says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will you not lay hold on it and lift it out? To show that these so-called Jews in the synagogue and Pharisees were straight hypocrites, because Christ had accounts and knew accounts where they was on their way to the temple and their ox fell in a ditch or their sheep fell in a ditch, and they went and got it out of the ditch. So they're hypocrites. Now, they got it out of the ditch because why? You can't make money on a dead ox, because the ox had to plow your gardens and keep your food. So they would actually have grace when it came to them getting more money. So Christ was actually highlighting their hypocrisy, how they break the laws when it's convenient for them to get money. Huh?
Okay. Well,
thank you. All right.
Thank you.
No problem. Follow Christ, my brother. And they're the synagogue of Satan. So
the banks and the businesses closed on Sabbath.
To make money for them. So they're not following the
Shalom.
What's going on?
Hello? Elder? Hello? Shalom? Hello? I don't know if you can hear me, Elder. I can't hear anything. Hello? Hello? Hello, Elder? Something's wrong. Hi. Hello? I'm unmuted, but I can't hear you. Oh. Hello? Hello? Oh. Hello, Elder? I don't know. I'm still here, but I don't know. Something's wrong with Blog Talk. I don't know. I'm waiting. If I'm still on, I...